Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Wittenberg Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Wittenberg Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your professional handicapped host, James Cox. And I have another episode. I got another interview today for y'all to listen to. We have Matt Whitehead from the band Shun, S-U-H-N. But first, before we bring him on, let me tell you about him, or about the band too. So behold Shun as they are truly a force to be reckoned with. A four-piece band. The band made their self-titled debut through Small Stone in 2001, and Dismantle, which is coming out really, really soon, continues several crucial threads in terms of songwriting, the returning production of Jay Robbins, who also does drums and guitar, and Sinith, and so on, while expanding their scope with a more refined crunch and drifting ethereal outreach. It is a heavier and paints on a broader landscape, and Matt Whitehead's vocals and guitar melodies, which I love. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I got, you know, hey man, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Is that, so what I just said, is that like partly true, or did I mess up the whole
body? That was mostly true. So
okay.
The one thing that I'll say is Jay Robbins did record and produce this. He did add a little bit of background guitar on one song.
Okay.
He did add a synth part in one song, but that's it.
Okay.
And,
nice.
And then we sort of worked with him with the first record, but the first record was really recorded at home.
Right.
Kind of, you know, recorded remotely, and he mixed it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I do have a thing to ask you about the drummers. It says, oh, okay, never mind, because you have, okay, so Jay Robbins plays percussion, which is kind of like a drummer also, because it says, Rob Elsley is your drummer, but then it also says Jay Robbins is a percussion, he does synth and guitar. So in the percussion element, what does he do?
Well, he did, I think it was some tambourine he did on a
gotcha.
Song or two. That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So percussion can be anything. I just thought you had like two different drummers.
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry about that, man. Yeah. Yeah.
No worries. Sometimes Rob's a great drummer. Sometimes he sounds like two drummers.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sure he plays now does he play with double bass or single bass?
He has a double bass pedal.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think if he ever uses it. I think he does use it maybe once or twice.
Okay.
He does it a lot at practice, just joking around. He has he comes from a much more metal background than maybe the music would sound like, I guess.
Yeah. And thank you for mentioning that, because that's one thing that I wanted to bring up, because it also says on the bio, if you read on, it says that you are like shoegazy metal. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but then again, I read that you're metal rock or classified as stoner metal. So which one is the real deal, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Okay.
Like, I guess we always
all the demo, like, right?
Categorize things, and I'm not really good at keeping track of all the subgenres. You know, are we heavy rock? Are we
right? Yeah,
atmospheric post rock? Are we post metal? Heavy shoegaze with a twist of lemon? I don't know.
Right.
But you know, yeah, we see the words stoner and things like that pop up a lot.
Yeah, I don't buy that you're stoner. I mean, I love stoner metal, but I mean, Orange Goblin is more stoner metal than
you are.
And the stoner metal, for anybody who doesn't know, it's kind of a sludgy, you know, kind of groove. You know, and that's not you. That's not
at
all.
Respect it. Been around it a long time from my earlier band and everything, but it's not really something that we enjoy to play ourselves.
So. Right. Yeah. Awesome. And I see, which I was excited to interview you today, because I see on your schedule, y'all are coming to Columbia, South Carolina. Guess who's in Columbia?
Oh,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, sir. So I'm definitely going to come see you on the 26th at New Brooklyn Tavern.
27th. The show has been
27th. Okay, because it's the 26th. So thank you for that.
Yes.
So this is the first time ever I'm going to be stepping in the new Brooklyn Tavern, you know?
Same.
Okay, so you've been to the old one, correct?
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Columbia. And my previous band, Throttle Rod, we started in Columbia, South Carolina. And in fact, our new guitar player was also in that band with me. So we have played New Brooklyn Tavern a million times, you know, over the years.
Yeah,
the old one.
Right, yeah, right, yeah, the old, yeah, but The last time I went there was a couple months ago, and the last band I saw there was Crowbar, and I'm sure you're familiar with that, Kirk Wanstead, and it's a great show. But yeah, there's been so many bands that try to keep that try to keep New Brooklyn with that. I forget what band it was, but they helped raise money for their merchandise to go towards New Brooklyn, just so they could stay at their old place, you know. But yeah. I don't know why it's closing. You know, it's sad, but I'm excited to see the new one. You know.
Yeah. Same here. Yeah. It sucks that old location was just great. It was, yes, you know, one of my favorite just dirty rock venues in the whole country.
Yes.
So it's an end of an era, but hopefully this new location works out.
Right. Yeah. Because New Brooklyn to the South Carolinians is kind of like the Orange Peel. It's kind of like the all of the other, like the New York staple that you would go to. So that's our staple is New Brooklyn. Okay, so I want to ask you something kind of weird that you probably not got asked before.
Okay.
Album covers. Okay.
Yeah.
So according to you, what is the best album cover that you've seen, the worst album cover, and the weirdest album cover?
Oh man, that's
so
definitely
many.
The best album cover, oh my gosh,
yeah,
that's a fantastic question. I don't know how to answer that.
Right.
I don't have anything to reference in this room.
Okay,
that I'm in here.
Okay, so we're gonna take away the best and say just the coolest, you know,
coolest.
If that works better.
Coolest.
I can give you mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Death. The band Death.
Mm-hmm.
Their album cover, Leprosy. Coolest cover ever, I think. You know.
Yeah.
With that guy just in the background, just, you know, I don't know. Yeah. That and the Cannibal Corpse album is pretty weird. You know, cool too.
Yeah, definitely.
Weird and cool at the
definitely
same time.
Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess just the top of mind. I mean, I guess, you know, the band Tool has done some really crazy things with album art before. You know, I kind of grew up, so to speak, on metal. So I guess some of the, when I think of metal, I think of Metallica, Master of Puppets. And I always thought that was a super cool album cover. I don't know. Art is really important to me. That's why that's so sort of difficult question to answer. Because there are just so many choices. I'll think, now, I'll be lying awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and think, oh crap, I should have said that.
Damn James, right? Yeah. But the weirdest cover I've ever seen in my life has got to be the Stone Temple Pilots Purple album with the baby riding on the dragon. I think that's the weirdest one ever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you think of any weird, you know, creepy or, you know?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. Well, yeah, mentioned Cannibal Corpse. They've got some pretty messed up stuff from, you know, what is it called? I'm drawing a blank on one of their couple albums.
Eaten Back to Life, Vile, Butchered at Birth.
Butchered at Birth, that's what I'm trying to think of, yeah.
Yeah, because the corpse with the little babies, oh my God, yeah, that's horrendous, you know.
Yeah, it's a little much for me.
Yeah, I don't. In today's standards, I don't think that they can get they would be able to get away with that one. You know, nowadays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they had to come up with the cleaner, alternative covers. You know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you about your band, because we're here for you and your band, Shun. Now, when you were let me see where this. Rob, Jeff, Jay, and Bo, are those, like, did you meet them in, like, high school, or like how did you find them to form this band? Because you find members all different ways, you know.
Yeah. Well, to be clear, Jay is not part of the band.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No, Jay is. Well, we can get to that, but. But, you know, Bo Leslie is our new guitar player. He did not play on the album. We were sort of talking to him at the time, and there was not going to be enough time for him to learn the songs and come record those. So he sort of pretty much joined right after we recorded. He just didn't feel like he had enough time. Bo and I go way back to high school, and we've played in, this is our third band together. But since he's the newest member, I guess I'll kind of focus on the core of the band. Jeff Baucom, he's the bass player. He and I played together in a band just prior to this, and it really just wasn't getting off the ground very well. And he had always raved about this guy, Rob Elzey, who was the drummer in another band that Jeff had played in, and he had introduced me to at one point. And Rob and I kind of hit it off, and every once in a while I would send him songs remotely, just random things I had written. And this guy would send drums back sometimes in a couple of hours, and it was pretty incredible. And so, one thing led to another. Jeff's and my band was kind of falling apart, and Jeff called me up and said, "Hey, I'm starting to jam with Rob again. Why don't you come up and play?" And at the time, there was another guitar player. This was all pretty new. A guy that had moved to Asheville, North Carolina, from Chicago, I think. So the band kind of started in the Asheville area or the Western North Carolina area, and I was kind of commuting. And at first, it was just something to sort of keep the chops up, and we were jamming every once in a while. And then at the end of, I guess that would be 2019, we decided to record a demo just to sort of take stock and see what we had. And we recorded, I believe it was the first weekend in March 2020, we got together and just kind of captured the drums for six songs, I think. And Jeff did his bass a few days later, but then the next week all the COVID stuff escalated in the area, and so we paused. And luckily, over the years, I have a fair amount of experience doing what I need to do with Pro Tools. I'm no expert, but I can certainly re record and edit and things like that. And so I just decided to start recording my stuff by myself. And it was really funny. I did all of my guitars with one amp that was sort of tucked away in my bedroom closet. And at one point, I didn't have a mic stand that would fit the cabinet. And I tied it to a boot. I wish I had taken a picture of that because it was funny. But I thankfully had some very forgiving neighbors because I'm sure that was really loud. But I knocked all those tracks out, and I recorded vocal ideas just sort of as I thought about them. So it was a kind of this remote recording kind of thing. And we didn't think all that much about it. Like I said, we were just kind of seeing what the song sounded like. And then I sent them to Scott Hamilton, who owns Smallstone Records, with absolutely no expectations. I wasn't even sending these demos to him saying, "Hey, was this something you want to put out?" I'd become friends with the guy over the years, and I was just sending it to him to say, "Hey, here's something crazy we were working on almost remotely." And it turns out he said he liked it a lot, and he asked if we could churn out three more songs, and then he would put it out. So, all right. So at that point, we wrote three songs completely remote from one another. So not ideal, but we made the most of it. And in the meantime, I was talking to my friend that plays in the band, Lamb of God, and we were talking about, we've been friends for a while. We were talking about doing some things and all that. For some reason, I sent him one of these songs. I guess it was the more metal song at the time, and he. What were we talking about? I guess I'm not really sure how it came about, but basically, he just asked me, like, "Do you mind if I just play on it?" And I was like, "Sure, famous metal musician.
It's like, yeah, dude.
Let me think about that." No, but so
Yes,
it
please.
was really funny. So he recorded that, and it was funny, as it's not even our favorite song, but of course he came back and we all just laughed. I mean, how awesome this thing was. And he worked on it, one Saturday morning, and he called me and said, "All right, I got this idea. It's gonna go here and go here." And I was like, "Sounds good, man." He sent it to me like 30 minutes later, and it's just hilarious. And The guy is so incredibly good.
Am I allowed to say his name on here? Because I know exactly who you're talking
sure.
about.
Sure. Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to keep it a secret, you know, because it's like a guy. Mark Morton, right?
Yeah.
Mark. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he just released the book, and I got it. I need to read it, you know. But I love so much of Lamb of God. I met him a few times. I met Mark one time, but that was just, like after the show, you know. Way back when, it was back in 2005, maybe when he did. So how did you and him become friends, if I might ask you?
Well, really through my wife, I guess.
Nice.
So I was in Green, or where was I? Columbia, South Carolina.
Right.
With my band Throttle Rod, when we all moved to Richmond, Virginia at some point, 2001 maybe. And it just was a good jumping off point because Richmond, Virginia, there's a lot of creativity there. There's a lot of great bands have come from that area. And it was a good jumping off point to tour. We were touring a lot. So it's kind of halfway in between Columbia, where we were doing, you know, pretty well. And then New York City is 6 hours north, Columbia is 6 hours south. So it's just really well positioned on the East Coast to hit a lot of places in, you know, fairly easy driving distance. And so I lived there for about 10 years and, you know, we mostly toured and things during that time. So I didn't really get out all that much, I guess. And then when I met my wife to be, you know, she was born and bred Richmond. And then, so she grew up with all these guys and very much she was a part of the music scene, particularly on the punk rock side.
Right.
So Mark and his wife at the time, we all lived in the same neighborhood.
Oh,
and and so we would just, you know, we just got together and hung out. And he knew, I hope he knows that, you know, Lamb of God, I think they're awesome. Do I know much about them? No. Like it's,
oh,
to
okay.
me, it's just a okay. just a dude. You know,
that's cool. It's right. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And we went to go see them play when they came through here in Greenville. It wasn't that long ago, maybe a year or
oh,
two
yeah.
ago.
They come up here a lot, you know. Not yeah. the comedy, but yeah.
And I think seeing that, you really appreciate how big this band is, you know.
Yeah,
we were kind of blown away. We're like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, the bass player John, he used to be our bartender at one of the bars in Richmond, you know, before
yeah,
they,
yeah before they really, got big
kind of yeah so yeah yeah so I lived in Richmond for 10 years and then I moved to South Carolina. Oh my gosh, when was that? 11 12 13 years ago now?
Really? Okay.
Doesn't seem like that. Wow.
Man, I don't know about you, but the weather is atrocious here, you know.
Oh, it's awful.
Now. It's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, especially in Columbia, the hottest place on earth.
Man, and, Columbia is not, because I think it got to like 101, but it felt like 135 or something, you know, like horrendously heat, you know. Thank God my air conditioner works, you know, so.
We're thankful every day that our air conditioning hasn't crapped out because it usually happens about once a year.
Oh no!
And it hasn't happened this year yet. I'm sure it's coming. August probably.
If it will crap out, hopefully it don't crap out in the winter because you don't need air conditioner in the winter,
right?
You know? Yeah. So. Okay, so I would like to talk about albums now. Shun came out in 2021, and Dismantle comes out in 2 days from now, which is the 19th. Okay, so can you tell us if there was how was the feeling recording the first album as opposed to this one, and what's the major do's and don'ts of each album that you recorded, or you know, worst to best?
Well, the first one that we did, as I said, they were just meant to be demos. And on the one hand, you have too much time to think about it when we were just all remote and we, you know, nobody knew what was going on with COVID. And so we were all kind of quarantined. And on the one time, on the hand, you kind of have too much time and you can nitpick things. And that's not always a good thing. That's not the way I generally operate. But 9 times out of 10, I like to treat music like a diary. And if I start to write a riff, I like to finish it right then and don't mess with it. And so that's kind of my approach. So we had maybe not as much of that. And we had another guy, the other guitar player, and he would write songs. I would write songs. You know, it was kind of like, here's mine, here's yours. It wasn't super collaborative.
Okay.
Not as much as I think we all would have liked, including him.
Right.
And so this time around, he's no longer in the band. And you know, for one reason or another, it just, things happened fast once he was kind of gone.
Yeah.
And it's not taking away anything from him. It's just sort of just the dynamic that happened.
Just sort of happened that way. Yeah.
So we basically, we had kind of all written one of the songs and we had tinkered with some other stuff, but like nothing was happening. It was just so slow and painful. And then I think he left the band and it was either December or very early January of last year. And then in 6 months we had a new record and we just cranked out the songs. And I think we had, we just had more fun with it.
Yeah.
We were all sort of collaborating. We were all friends and it was a whole different environment. There was none of this, quarantined, everybody's scared to talk to one another. It was you can't even compare the two periods. But all in all, it was just a lot of fun to do that. And we did not overthink the songs. We at one point, I think our bass player was joking the other day, and he said, you know, we were basically writing a song a week there for a while. And then for the recording, we actually went up to Baltimore to Jay Robbins' studio. Incredible room he's got there. Some really cool stuff. Clutch is recorded there. Texas is the Reason, things like that. And it's just, it's got this amazing main room that you don't even have to do anything. You walk in and set up, bang the drums, and they sound incredible.
Right.
There's just natural reverb in there.
Yeah, everything.
And so we drove all the way up there from, you know, me and Greenville and the other two guys in Western North Carolina, and we rented a house all week. And it's just like we just lived, we lived our best lives, as they say. You know,
there you go.
We had a great time. Jay is so easy to work with. This is actually the third time that I've worked with him, and he is just fantastic. One of the most creative people I've ever been around.
Yeah,
he has an incredible ear, and at the same time, you know, he comes from Government Issue and Jawbox and more of the Discord punk rock scene.
Right.
So he really understands that, and he has this real, he'd probably hate me saying this, but like this punk rock ethic, this honesty about his process. And there's just no BS. I mean, you have to know what you're doing with him. There's no fixing, you know, sitting there and fixing every little thing. I mean, we plugged our gear in. I'm not even sure I turned the knob. You know, like I plugged it in and we're going. So you better be ready to go.
Hey, man. Yeah.
So he's, I really like that. And that maybe is not what we initially saw for the album, but it ends up being exactly what we needed. And it was just fun and it's organic and it sounds, you know, relatively close to what we sound like live. And a lot of times in previous bands, you know, you go in, you layer rhythm guitars and or stack the rhythm guitars and everything.
Yeah.
We didn't do any of that. I mean, I think that there are two guitars, one on the left side, one on the right side, because I was doing two guitar parts because there would be, you know, two guitar players eventually. And then there might have been a couple of parts where there was an overdub, like one overdub, but that was it.
Yeah.
You know, very little vocal doubling, and you know, it just felt really fun, and we had a blast recording it. We were actually very sorry when the whole process was over. We did the whole thing, and you know, including setting up and getting sounds and all that. I think we did the whole thing in 6 days.
6 days,
something like that. Yeah, 7 days maybe.
Damn.
We got there on a Saturday. We set up and you know started probably that evening, and we were done Friday.
Yeah.
So it was really fast. That really great time, and I think we'll all always have those memories of that as being, you know, favorite recording that we've all ever done.
Yeah. I would imagine that it would be more proficient or more fun working with the band together in the same room as opposed to remote, like the pandemic, you know, because I know a lot of people who did not like the pandemic because of that reason, you know, you can't see nobody, can't throw ideas off each other right on the spot. So, So I guess that was the main reason why you love this Dismantle album.
I think that, and then just the actual production quality, because it was recorded in a real studio and not Jay had to beat it into submission. I think when he mixed the first demos, he made it sound a lot better than it sounded when we first sent it to him. But this was just a whole different thing. It's difficult to even compare the two.
Right. Yeah, I hear a lot of bad talking about Pro Tools, but I mean it's really the easiest editor or like production tool software, right? I mean, is there anything better? Because I've heard of like Reaper, Fruit Loops, Pro Tools, and I don't know which one's best. But you know, but I guess
Pro Tools is what you're going to find in most of the studios, and you know there are other things. There's Logic and Logic Pro and all that. And but I've had Pro Tools since the mid 2000s, so I know it pretty well. It works for me. It works to do what I do and record ideas and record some vocals and things like that. And I don't do anything fancy. I certainly don't mix in Pro Tools or anything like that. But Pro Tools is great. I mean, you save a lot of time by not having to rewind the tape every take that you do, and just think little things like that. Sure, there's all the purists of okay, tape has a certain warmth and the whole thing. Pro Tools is fine.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your voice because I think you have one of the best voices in rock and metal history right now.
Thanks.
I'm serious.
Oh wow.
And I just want to know, was it like a learning prospect or like, did you know you could sing without even like,
no?
Okay.
No. Our first band, our last band rather, Throttle Rod, when we started in the 90s, late 90s, and we had a PA that didn't work. So I didn't even know, nobody knew what it was going to sound like. And it was just a big learning experience. And that's one of my favorite things about recording is each time I feel like I learn something, and each time I get more confident and I tweak my style a little bit. And, I'm never happy with any of that stuff. I wish I could do that again, but it's been a long process. I mean,
so really you're more like a perfectionist, right?
Oh, big time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure my bandmates current and like prior would probably agree to that. I set the bar pretty high for myself, not for others. I just hope I enjoy working with people that set the bar high for themselves as well. That's what one thing I like so much about our drummer. That guy practices and analyzes his playing and gets frustrated if he feels like he's floating in time, and he really cares about his drums, which is cool.
Right, which is awesome, you know, because I like to work with people who are passionate about stuff, you know, and I'm sure you do, and I feel like he is passionate about his craft, you know, especially the drums, you know, because that's the loudest guy in the room. Everybody can hear you, you know. So if a drummer messes up, that, you know, that's pretty much it, you know?
Yeah. Vocals are tough. It's always, it's a thing I like to do. I like to create that aspect of it, but it's frustrating, you know, especially when you're playing guitar too. It's not easy, but I enjoy it. And I like using each song as a learning experience, and I try and get better each time.
Yeah. Since we Since we discovered you're a little bit of a perfectionist, I am too, so I'm not going to rag on you too much. So with creating music and any other kind of opportunity that you create, being a perfectionist as you are, how do you know when to actually stop and tuck it away? Or like, do you tuck it away and like come back with fresh new eyes, fresh new ideas? And I mean, do you just, I mean, like what's your, how do you know when to stop is what I'm trying to,
Historically, I don't know when to stop, but I've really worked on that. And like I was saying, when I said I try and treat most songs like a diary, and I make it a point to try and not overcook it. And it's one of those things, probably to some degree, maybe I'm saying this, but maybe I don't actually do it as well as I'm saying.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's song by song. And okay. I try, I for me, once it gets to the point where I'm putting vocals on something, I'll try it a number of ways. I have a weird process that I kind of go through to make sure it sounds good. Somebody taught me once to just hum things. And if it's sounding good when you're humming it, you know, kind of go with that. I'll listen to it in my car. And so I probably, with vocal melodies and everything, I probably still obsess over that a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, when it comes to guitar parts and bridges, and if I think something feels good in the moment, I won't even come back to it unless somebody else hates it. And then by all means. So I don't know. It's a song by song. And so most of the songs were written in a very short period of time, but there were some exceptions. And there was one song, it was this second song on the record called Aviator. And that basic theme of that song, I have phone recordings, like voice memo recordings of that general idea back to like 2018.
Oh, wow.
You know? And then it just never, I tried it in two different bands, and it just wasn't happening. And I tried it in this band, and it was like, we got a song together and I didn't love it. And one day I got kind of just fed up with it. And I went upstairs and I just basically took a sledgehammer to it and I simplified it. There's really, I don't even know if you call that a chorus. There's one chorusy type part in the song, and just kind of got rid of all the extra stuff that wasn't adding to the song. And I think it's much more fun to play now, but that's an example of something that maybe I let sit for years. I knew there was something there, but we couldn't quite get it yet.
Yeah.
But most of the other stuff, you know, from idea to finished song, we're usually pretty quick.
Yeah. Nice. That's always the best thing, you know, because if you don't overthink things, I think that's a lot better than over processing something, you know.
Can be.
Right. Yes, it can be. Or, it can be, you know, take time with a little bit of love and care for that one thing mm-hmm. that you're doing, you know. Yeah. So.
It's also kind of neat to look back, and if you write a song at a certain time or a batch of songs at a certain time, you know, you can kind of remember what you were feeling and thinking, and right or wrong, that's where you were.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's kind of neat to look back and think about.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause each song anybody writes, it has their own memories for that songwriter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah. It can be good or bad, you know?
So
as a band, what challenges have you faced as a metal band in today's music industry?
I think the biggest challenge that we have, and this is probably the case with all the bands that we've been in, like, we never quite fit into any one thing. Like, we're always too metal for rock and too rock for metal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's like, who do you play with, and how do you, you know, kind of have an audience when you're either not heavy enough or too heavy for people.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of, we don't really worry about that. It's just an observation, and we kind of laugh about it from time to time. Yeah. Like, well, we're going to be the, the odd people on this bill. And
yeah,
all right, sometimes it works to our advantage and sometimes it doesn't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say let your booker deal with that because your booker books you, right? So I mean, it's it. Yeah. So that's
yeah. We book ourselves right now.
Oh, okay. So, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've always had the kind of mindset of, you know, we'll play with anybody, anywhere,
right,
kind of thing. It's not that, you know, don't mistake what I'm saying. We don't think we're, you know, better than anybody. We just think
no,
we don't fit
right.
in. Don't want to play
right. With. Yeah. Yeah. Because my I agree with my co-host Blake, who can be here tonight, and he apologizes to you. But he said, go see the opening bands, because most times, like 9 out of 10 times, the opener is going to be 10 times better than the actual band you want to go see. And I agreed to that, because there's been times when, I mean, opener is killing it better than the actual headliner, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I totally agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm a big proponent of when you go see shows, try and catch all the bands as well. And I try. It's very rare that I'll leave early. I've got to have something really important. If I've left your show early, it was because something important, something big was going on.
Right.
But generally, I stay until the very end and watch all the bands. And you know, Bo and I, who toured a lot together in another band, we were the last two people there very often when watching bands play. And that's important to us, to support one another.
Right. Yeah. Is there any like memorable stories on the road you can remember so far, or have you all been like in with each other?
Well, with Shun, we really haven't toured. We really haven't done all that many shows, but yeah, plenty of stories that, if the other band, that's probably best I just keep to myself. But
that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. All right. So we do have two more questions, and then we'll let you go. Four bands. So if you had to do it like a Mount Rushmore with four bands of all time, your favorite four, who would it be?
And that's the worst question you could ask me.
Oh, no, I thought the Apple question was the weirdest one.
Oh, so I won't say the four, but I'll just name four.
Yeah.
So I have to name Soundgarden.
Okay.
Let's see, four bands. See, now I'm just going back to the beginning.
I know.
I would have to name Metallica. Master of Puppets, Kill 'Em All. That's really when I started playing guitar. Or I guess I probably heard about them a little bit later, but I went back and you know, some of that stuff was the first stuff I learned on guitar. I liked really into
So you got Soundgarden and Metallica. That's two. Two more.
I like Tool a lot. You know who, there's a band that I've been hip to since the beginning, but I've never been a big I'll go ahead and say what I was gonna say.
Okay.
I was never a huge fan, but I like them more and more over time. It's like I get them more. Is the Deftones, and I really was not the biggest fan back when they first came out. I think they kind of get better with every album. But there was an important one that I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
But there was an important one that maybe I should have mentioned, and it just dawned on me, is when I heard things like Helmet, Quicksand. Quicksand was a big one for me. That changed my life. That changed the trajectory of what I thought that I liked. And I liked that kind of post-hardcore kind of thing, but still melodic, that Quicksand had to offer. So I would put them up there for me with one of my favorites. You asked for four, and I shouldn't.
I did. You can give me as many as you want to.
But, you know, I'm thinking more and more. You know, I'm a big Melvins fan. Jesus Lizard. I'm a Jawbox fan. I'm a Morphine fan. What else? I mean, those are some of the things that we all like a lot of different kind of music.
Right, which is good, you know.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Going back to the Deftones, though. Yeah, man, that band is like a, it's like a, it's like a, you either love them or you hate them. There's no in between
Yeah.
with them, you know. And
Yeah.
I do agree with you. They make better records. But I will fight you to this day saying that White Pony is the greatest album of all time. You know, I mean, that's
Yeah.
just a killer album, you know, with so
Yeah.
many good feelings and emotions and melodies and just the way that whole album is the mixed, you know,
It's
that,
incredible.
yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that album up. One time I was in Brooklyn, recording an album, different band, and the producer there, the guy's incredible, and never would have ever in a million years taken him for a Deftones fan. And but every morning, I guess it was, he
Yeah.
would put that record on to sort of test the sound system. He had so much respect for it, and I
Yes.
think that's kind of when my ears started perking up. I was like, really?
Right. Yeah.
Like, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. So we have one more question for you. And are you
All
ready
right.
to hit me a lot more? Because I'm gonna give you
Oh,
this. I'm gonna meet you on the 26th
is great.
of this month, so you can slap me in the
27th.
if you want to. 27th, thank you.
Yeah.
I do have it written down, 27th, in New Brooklyn Tavern. So you can make me buy you beer or something. I don't care. You can do whatever you want. But okay, so the last question is I ask everybody this, okay? One song. Well, let's narrow down the two now. Song, band, or artist, or album that you can listen to, but you can't tell me, your wife, your kids, your bandmates, how it makes you feel inside your soul. It's you have so many emotions, like you can't explain it how it makes you feel.
Oh,
Yeah.
so just one song
You could
that,
do two or three songs, you know, as many as you want to give. I just one song because it's, you know.
yeah, so something that.
Because I know that I have like two or three songs that when I hear them, I can't really tell you how it makes me feel. And I cry with one song alone, you know. Just so powerful, you know.
I would say the very first thing that comes to mind, only because I mentioned the band a minute ago, is there's a Morphine song called The Night.
Okay.
And I used to, it's the last album that they recorded before he died. And I would listen to that song after shows on the road in the middle of the night. And it just did something to me. But yeah, there are times where it's, I get, teary-eyed over it. And
Yeah.
it's just something, and I don't know why. It's just
Right.
something that grabs me.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of examples, but that's just the first one that came to mind because I really hadn't thought about that song in a while.
Oh, makes me want to back and listen to it, right? Yeah,
Yeah, yeah,
which is great. That's what we do here at When the Words Fail.
yeah.
Okay. So, your band, your website is, you don't have an official website yet, but anybody can go to Bandcamp slash Shun. Is that the
Shun the band.
Shun the band?
So it's kind of like this. There's a bunch of bands called Shun, and we like the
Yeah.
kind of self-deprecating humor. So
Right.
Shun the band, and that's what all of our social medias are,
Okay, perfect. We're on
Facebook,
TikTok, Facebook.
Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we have you could go to, I think it's like Deezer, Spotify, Apple Music, a lot more music from Shun. Specifically Shun, which was 2021, and Dismantle, which you can download some songs now, but the full album comes out in 2 days from now, which is on the 19th. This might be
That's
a
right.
little bit after the 19th, so pick up the album, download it, go to the store, buy it. You've been awesome. So we honestly do thank you for coming on the show, and I can't wait to see you on the 27th of
27th,
this
yes,
month
you
on
got it.
New Brooklyn Tavern. Yes, sir. So
Yeah, it's gonna be fun.
oh yeah, because I'm dying to see what it looks like, because I've never I don't know where it is. You know, hopefully my GPS can take me there, you know. So
Yeah.
awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, sir. And with that said, everybody listening, thank you for listening, and always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys.